step by step. There are tears on my pillow that won't dry on their own. Beyond my ears, I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone.
Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday night Alcoholics and God speaker step series. We're going to have Noah come up and tell our joke.
Hi, everybody. My name is Noah, and I'm an alcoholic. Hello. We have a joke tonight from Take Me to Your Sponsor, Best Jokes and Cartoons from AA Grapevine. This one's called Thanks, Doc. Herb went to the doctor for a routine exam. While he was there, he told the doctor he wasn't able to do all the things around the house that he used to do. And he says, "'Cause I'm usually pretty drunk when I get home," he explained. When the examination was complete, Herb looked at the doctor and said, "Now, Doc, I can take it. Tell me in plain English what's wrong with me." "Well, in plain English," the doctor replied, "you're just a lazy old drunk." "Okay," said Herb. "Now give me the Latin term so I can tell my wife."
I'm a recovered alcoholic, and my name is James. Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise and might distract someone. Take this time to get connected to God, let the craziness of the day drift away, and ask God to help you stay focused on this step study tonight. If everyone's ready, we're going to bring in the monks and put down the lights.
Thank you.
We're going to say the fog light prayer. If you don't know it, it's up on the screen, and there's yellow cards behind the chairs. God, let your love shine through me like a fog light, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me. There is a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. I've asked Dennis to read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is. Please welcome up Dennis.
I'm Dennis. I'm a grateful, recovering alcoholic.
Hi, Dennis.
Spiritual experience. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally recognizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer. This is from Alcoholics Anonymous, pages 567 and 568.
Great job. Thank you.
Dennis. Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. Just turn your phones off or mute them. And tonight we have Peter with his final session. Give it up for Peter.
All right. My name is Peter, recovered alcoholic. Grateful to be alive and sober and part of a sacred place called Alcoholics Anonymous. And first things first, thank the group for inviting me back. I'm like a repeat offender. I leave here and they call me back. It's like I'm on a court sometimes. But it's been a blast, and the trusted servants are fabulous here. And it's been an honor to serve here for the last 11 or 12 weeks, whatever it is. It's unbelievable when you do these things. I get to do these often. And I get out on weekends to different conferences, and it's weird. You get there and on a Friday, and you get to the hotel, and everyone's jazzed up about the weekend. It's about to happen, and there's hugging and handshakes and all the stuff and registering, and in a blink of an eye, you're back at the airport going home. And when you do these three-month things, you've probably got 12 weeks ahead of me. I'll be here for a while. And you turn around and you're saying, you know, we'll see you on the road. And they go really fast. Either that or I'm getting really old. I'm not sure yet. Jury's out. So it's been a privilege to be here. June 23rd, 1988 is when a loving God separated me from alcohol. Very grateful for this gift of sobriety. And, you know, I didn't quit drinking. I didn't stop drinking. I tried quitting and stopping many times, only to return to that which was killing me. But God, in his infinite mercy, separated me, pulled me apart. Like when two guys are having a fight and you have to get in the middle and separate them, because they're going to hurt each other. That's what God had to do for me. All my willpower, all the things that were at stake, all the consequences that were going to happen, all the things I was going to lose were not enough to keep me away from alcohol and some non-conference approved dry goods. Now, I might stay away from a day or two, but only to return. In fact, quite frankly, the only time I stayed away from alcohol and other substances when I was either locked up or in a treatment center. But from my first treatment center to my last one, if I was out on the street, I was drunk or high or both. And there were so many times on the journey where I wanted out and I just couldn't get out. And so I'm very grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous and this loving God, this merciful God. Thank God he's not a fair God, because he was a fair God, I'd be in a lot of trouble. But a merciful God who took me from this scrap heap to a level of life better than the best I've known. I'm very grateful for that. I need to mention, because I'm supposed to talk about step 12 tonight. And part of that for me is touching on some of the men. There were many women in AA who helped me, and some of them mothered me when I was brand new, nurtured me with dignity and respect. But the men were the ones who had their hands on me. And my current sponsor is Bob Azan out of St. Paul, Minnesota. And he has been just an incredible teacher, very wise man. I've been sober quite a number of years. And before him, I had a gentleman named Mickey M. from Denver, Colorado. And because of that man, I got to return back to my religious origin and back to my church, because that's what sponsors do. He didn't say, you need to go back. But he gave me some considerations that I knew I needed to get back. And it's been one of the greatest experiences I've had on this journey. Opened up doors for me, which came out of steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And I went back to my church to make amends in something called confession. And I've been going ever since. And how could I not go? I often think, how did I last that long without returning to that place? And it's been a blast for me, including being a servant there as well. Before him, I had... For me, probably my greatest teacher in Alcoholics Anonymous, and that was a gentleman out of Texas named Mark Houston. And with him was a guy named Don P. out of Colorado and Gary B. out of Indiana. Now, most of those men have passed. My first sponsor was a guy out of Brooklyn named Tony, and everyone in Brooklyn is named Tony, so it's hard to figure out who. But he's the guy who put me on the path. Because like many of us, when I got out of treatment, I thought I knew what I needed to do, and I didn't have a clue. And as long as I keep saying I know, I can never learn. And he had to shut me down and tell me I knew nothing about alcoholism other than treatment center lingo. and that wasn't going to allow me to survive in Alcoholics Anonymous or out there on the street trying to do life on God's terms. And all of these men held me accountable, and some of them were incredibly rigid, like really strict, and barked a lot. But I look but live life forward and understand it backwards. These are the type of men that God put in my life, because those are the men I listened to. I couldn't have someone, especially out of the gate, who was kind of warm and fuzzy. I wouldn't be paying attention to that. But these sort of drill sergeants says, you go home and you do this tonight. I said, okay, fine, I'm going to go do it because I don't want him to holler at me. And I want to be the best sponsee he had. So I did what he did, told me to do. And a lot of that was out of this book and just praying and meditating. And so I followed instructions, and desperation's a great teacher. It makes me very open and reasonable. I'm paying attention. I'm looking for light somewhere because it's gotten so dark. And after a while, the soul starts to talk to us, and we start to pay attention to that voice. When I got here, it was a foreign voice. That spirit, that soul was a foreign voice. It was talking Latin, and it was talking to me my whole life. I didn't know, what is this? I don't know. I can't deal with this. And suddenly what happens in this transformation, especially by the time we get to the sunlight of spirit in step 10, I'm listening for, I'm leaning in. Come on, God, talk to me. That's a huge 180. I don't like when I'm in self-reliance because I can feel self-reliance. It doesn't feel good. Clothes don't fit. Everything's too tight. So I'm leaning. And sometimes I get into self-reliance and other voices, where are you going? What are you doing? It's you again. It usually shows up when fear shows up. I get right in there and try to mix it up. When COVID hit, I thought I was going to cure COVID by being angry on Facebook. I figured somebody would listen to me. My sponsor says, you know, you have no power, right? So I'm grateful for these men who also taught me about our sacred fellowship and the history behind it. It's so easy for a guy like me to have my set meetings a few days a week and think that's Alcoholics Anonymous, or South Florida represents Alcoholics Anonymous. But no, it doesn't. There's a lot of treatment centers down here, thank God. And we can think that's AA, and it really isn't. There's a whole globe of AA. And I had to learn how we started, very humble beginnings. AA was flat broke. The founding members had nothing. But God is not interested in money. God's interested in saving lives and pull people together who normally would not mix. And here we are. We're going to have in Vancouver, I think it's our 90th AA birthday in July. Go figure. None of this makes sense. Alcoholics Anonymous, if a civilian took a bird's eye view of us, they'd say they'll never make it more than 24 hours. They'll be killing each other and drunk. It's no way. There's no organization. The group members tell the people in a corporate structure, you got the CEO who you never see and the janitor on the bottom. And the CEO says, we're wearing blue shirts tomorrow. Everyone comes to work with a blue shirt. In AA, it's just the opposite. We are AA. We represent AA. None of that makes sense. It doesn't make sense that a guy like me who was living in an abandoned building in 1988 on my way into my 7th treatment center would steal anything that wasn't nailed down, would lie when the truth would suffice. I was not a good guy. Suddenly gets to the 7th treatment center, gets into Alcoholics Anonymous, and God does what God does and awakens the spirit, and suddenly you can leave money around and I won't touch it. You can let me in your house and what was there will be there when I leave. It doesn't make sense. I was not that guy when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. And so besides teachers, spiritual directors, sponsors, who are, for me, vital, other than my first 6 months in Alcoholics Anonymous, I've never been without a sponsor. That doesn't make me a better AA or a less AA. It's just my journey. And it isn't that after 36 years, I don't trust myself. I just like having a sponsor to go to run stuff by, share some inventory, and get some direction, because sometimes I'm not sure what direction to go. So I call my sponsor. And even if it's the wrong thing, I can reconcile the whole thing, but at least I reach out to my sponsor. I want to know about some history. I reach out to my sponsor. So sponsors for me are vital on this journey of recovery for a guy like me anyway. They're spiritual directors, they're teachers, and I need to be a student. One of the things I've learned, the longer I'm sober, the older I'm getting, the point of view on things changes. The truth is true until I discover a new truth. And there's lots of new truths that God's given to us. We're awake enough to see something new. And some of the best teachers I've learned is outside of Alcoholics Anonymous. They're called friends and family. Spouse, children, siblings, co-workers. When life hits them and I'm suddenly involved in their life. When tragedy hits and I'm suddenly involved. When my neighbor's son ODs and dies, I'm subtly involved. When a family member falls upon some financial hardship, I'm subtly involved. Or sometimes we're just married to that person who just doesn't want to be married to us, and subtly I'm involved. And what that has done for me over the years is exposed, revealed in me, to me, cranks in the armor. Because it's easy to be spiritual. Well, this meeting starts at 7:15, ends at 8:15. We can be Moses for an hour, all of us. We're all capable of being Moses. Hi, how are you? Good to see you. God bless you. Have a great day. Then we go to Publix and we turn into Rambo. It just, you know. But that kind of stuff has revealed many times to me the holes in the armor. When I don't want to be inconvenienced. I don't want to loan money. I don't want to be there all night. I don't want to babysit Joe to drunk again. I don't want to go to that dinner. And it exposes a lot in me, and they've been great teachers for me. I've been involved in the treatment center business. Trust me, when you're involved in that kind of heat, day after day after day, stuff gets exposed to me about circumstances that are around me that I need to take a look at. They don't. So they've been great tool sharpeners for me. And I sometimes have wondered why. Because maybe, is it possible, as my sponsor said, God loves you so much, he wants you to have good tools to go to work for him. And will put you in circumstances, will create an environment for me to wake up even more. Part of this awakening as the result of the 12 steps. Because when I got here in 1988, guys, I didn't even know who Bill and Bob was after 7 treatment centers. That's a fact. 7 treatment centers, I don't know who Bill and Bob is. The traditions don't apply. I know nothing about the steps. I just know you go to a meeting, I'm supposed to stay sober after I leave here. I like the unity. I like the fellowship. I like the handshakes. That's all I know. And I've come to depend upon that stuff. And all of that stuff has put my hand in God's hand, if you will. When I was new in Alcoholics Anonymous, I would do as my sponsor would do and say what my sponsor would say. And a lot of the old timers in AA, and they would say some really cool one-line phrases, and you'd go home with that. And they were very helpful. But one of the things I heard often was that sobriety was my number one priority. They would say that a lot. And I started to parrot that at meetings. It sounds really good. It sounds like you're really all in and you got your act together. I raise my hand. My name is Peter. I'm an alcoholic, and sobriety is my number one priority. Now, I got to tell you, the truth is true until we discover a new truth. Now, sobriety is certainly a priority for me. By the evidence is I'm here tonight. I get on a plane and go to Kentucky tomorrow. I come home Sunday, and Monday I'll be at a meeting. I'll probably be here Monday night. So that's the evidence. When the sponsors call, I work with them. I call my sponsor, all of that stuff. But sobriety is not my number one priority. It's a priority. It's not my number one priority. My number one priority has been, and I hope continues to stay this way, is my conscious contact with God. Mm-hmm. Conscious contact with God is my number one priority, because when I'm having conscious contact with God, not being unconscious to God, sound asleep to God, but having conscious contact, awake to God, when a doctor comes and said he's conscious, that means he's awake. Mm-hmm. He's talking. He's eating. I need to be like that with God, awake to God. You know what? I'm not hurting myself or anyone else, and the drink or drug is somewhere else. It's called a place called recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. This personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism. In fact, when we look at the 12th step, working with others in our book, it says I should introduce myself or be introduced to the new prospect as a person who has recovered, not someone who's recovering. It means I'm still in the convalescent period. I haven't gotten better yet, but someone who has recovered, and that new person, when I meet them, need to find out if they're willing to go to any extreme to get better. That's what we call any lengths. These are very clear-cut directions our book is giving us. So as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, when I say I'm a recovered alcoholic, it doesn't mean cured or better than. It just means I'm showing God off. This is what he's done. He's taken me from this person who knew nothing about recovery, couldn't get sober, to a place of recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, awake to the sunlight, awake to God, and present. And so I get to travel light on most days. Our book says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of the 12 steps, one of the biggest promises in the book. We read how it works all the time. We go through the 12 steps and we're reading how it works. And we go right past, I've done it, go right past the 12th step and finish the rest of how it works. Not paying attention to what the 12th step says. It guarantees me. It's an assembly line for spiritual awakenings. It guarantees me. It's past tense. Having had, they're telling us we have the spiritual awakening as a result of the 12 steps. It's going to happen. If I drive up to a car wash in about 5-10 minutes, my car is going to be nice and clean. That's a guarantee. Well, that's what's going to happen here. Or it can flounder around in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know when we say stick around till the miracle happens? We're hanging around. I don't know. The miracle didn't happen yet. Guess what? If my butt's in the seat of Alcoholics Anonymous, the miracle has happened. Because we get people coming who are drunk, but why are they sitting in an AA meeting? That's a miracle. Somebody just has to work with them and massage that a little bit. And sometimes we come in shaking and baking or right out of treatment. We park our rear end in a seat of Alcoholics Anonymous. The miracle has happened. I need to cultivate that. I need to get around like-minded people. I need to be talking about recovery, talking about God, asking questions. That stuff starts to grow. And if anyone's here tonight, it's under 30 days. Use your 30 days. It'll grow. Talk to someone with 29 days. Talk to someone who's got a white chip. You're not incomplete. You're not insufficient. In fact, we get a lot more people on board because some of our old-timers have gotten lazy. And quite frankly, I'll be honest with you. So we need some new blood. So if you got 30 days, talk to someone who's got a white chip tonight. You just say hello. Welcome. I've been here for 30 days. So far, so good. The ship hasn't sunk. It's unbelievable. I've been in AA for 30 days. I haven't gotten arrested once. This is unbelievable. So having had a spiritual awakening as the result of the 12 steps, I try to carry this message to other alcoholics and practice these principles in all my affairs. What principles are we talking about? There's 164 pages in all the steps that give me principles to live by. And for me, one of the biggest ones is honesty. I can't lie about this. And the soul never lies. The soul always gives me the truth. I need to be honest about my condition. I'm an alcoholic, and I got to take a look at, do I still believe in my soul that I'm alcoholic? The head is fickle. The mind is fickle. It's today Moses, tomorrow Rambo. I can't pay attention to the mind. It's the biggest predator that ever hit the planet. It wants God on Monday, doesn't want it on Tuesday. It follows the instructions on Monday. It doesn't want to do it on Tuesday. It's moody. It's narcissistic. It's schizophrenic. It's got all those things. And the seven deadly sins, they all live together. And I'm going to lean on this to figure how I'm going to become enlightened. But I need to listen to the soul because it always points me in the right direction. And the thing about waking up, going through the 12 steps, I go from here to here. And I start to operate out of this place. But what I had to take a look at, and I still do, have I gotten away from step one? You know, when we first come in here, we tore up from the floor up and we're crying. Oh my God, I did it again. I need some help. And I don't want to go back out there. And 6 months later, I'm skipping meetings. I'm not writing inventory. I don't even have a sponsor. And I'm trying to 13-step people. What happened? I've gotten away from step one. I learned the lingo, so when I come to an AA meeting, I can sound like I'm part of the crowd. I know the right things to say, but I'm not okay. And that can happen with double-digit sobriety. I've gotten away from step one. I'm a gate crasher once a week, and that's about it. I'm good. I feel good. And I'm comfortable. Really dangerous. That's been my experience. If I'm seeking comfort, I'm in trouble. I need to be looking to get better, and I feel better. And there's a big difference between comfort and spiritual joy. Thomas Merton talks a whole bunch about that. Spiritual joy is unaffected by any external conditions because it's God. God doesn't write resentment when the stock market crashes. God doesn't write resentment when someone doesn't say hello to him at the coffee pot. He's God. I do. So I need to learn to operate out of that place. How far away from step one have I gotten? Because the same way we can have the spiritual awakening as a result of the steps and go forwards through the steps, I begin to go backwards through the steps. This is why sponsorship is so important. And having a home group when I don't show up, where were you? Everything okay? And calling a sponsor regularly. I had a call with a guy I've been sponsoring now, oh Lord, it's about 11 years. And I can hear, after a while, you can hear it. Like when you're married to someone, you know something's, hey, what's going on? Something's not right. And you'll have that conversation. And when you sponsor someone a while, you can hear it over the phone, something's wrong. And he's reading inventory, and it sounds like, you know, third grade inventory. And I stopped him. I says, let me ask you something. How long are you sober now? He told me. I said, how many meetings you make in a week? And the phone got quiet. He said, I make my home group. I says, and? That's about it. I said, the phone call's over, because this is a waste of time. You're not even participating in Alcoholics Anonymous anymore. How many people are you sponsoring? Well, I got this one guy who calls me. Is that a sponsor or he calls you? Well, he calls me. So you're sponsoring no one. You're making one meeting a week, and you're here to dump on me on a Wednesday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. See the selfishness involved in that? I'll walk through fire with the guy, but you got to walk with me. Huh? Our book says practical experience will ensure immunity, and working with others will ensure immunity from alcoholism. Immunity from alcoholism. Intensive work with other alcoholics. And for me, the way I've been brought up in AA, that means I have a sponsee that I'm going to teach him about the fellowship that was done for me and take him to the 12 steps, which was done for me, and talk about service, sponsorship being at the top of the service structure for me, which was done for me. And they're going to get to live in all three sides of the triangle, be whole and complete. That's my job as a sponsor. And sometimes as a sponsor, just listen to someone cry over the phone and walk them through a dark night. I'm the shoulder to lean on. And that's what those men have done for me. But it's intensive work. It's not like, here's my number, give me a call. You know, I'll see you at the meeting. That's cordial and friendly and fellowship stuff. There's a lot more to it. Now, this is what works for me. There's a lot of, Stevie has a great phrase, but different flavors in AA. You know, I like big bookers, some people don't. This is what works for me, and I can only share my experience and then hope here. But what all of this has done for me, quite frankly, is made me walk with head up and shoulders square on most days. And I screw up a lot. I have an alcoholic mind. I'm not cured. I will cause a traffic jam and no one's on the road. I will trip over my own feet, and sometimes I need six people to tie my shoes. I mean, it's just the way it is. You know? I'm broken and flawed. That's my condition. That's how God designed it, broken and flawed. When my car drives away, I'm the car. It leaves an oil spot on the ground. That's me. The windows squeak, the doors squeak. That's my getting around. And the older I'm getting, I'm squeaking a lot more, by the way. But that's how God designed it. It has allowed me to be a family member again, and a brother to my brothers, and a son to my dad. My dad got to see me sober 36 years, and the first 2 years, the jury was out. He wasn't sure if this was for real or not, nor were my brothers or the rest of my extended family. But what I've learned via a sponsor was that the sermon was the walk, not the talk. So I showed up early and stayed late, and I kept my word, and I was rigorously honest on when I was asked questions, and little by slowly, that had depth and weight for other people. My dad passed last July, and as a woman in AA says, he got you for 36 years. I got that in Alcoholics Anonymous. I got to be employable in Alcoholics Anonymous. I got to meet my wife in Alcoholics Anonymous. I got to have my youngest brother, who has some serious bipolar stuff, cry on my shoulder and literally stay up with him through the night, broke night a few times with him to get him to a doctor because he was falling apart. I get to do that stuff. I get to. It's not a have to. I get to. And again, as I was saying earlier, expose to me what's going on with me. Fear. I'm going to lose my brother. I should have the power to fix him. Maybe wave the big book over him and it'll be cured. That kind of stuff. I saw my inadequacy. I saw my insecurity. And I saw my need to call upon God and then get a doctor to help my brother. Many lessons learned along the road. So having had a spiritual awakening as the result of the 12 steps, experientially, can I talk to you about that? When I'm sitting with a new guy, can I talk to him about what he is in for? When we're sitting with a young lady, can we talk about what she's about to experience in Alcoholics Anonymous? That it's not going to be don't drink and go to meetings, make 90 meetings in 90 days. That's all nice stuff, but it doesn't appear in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Not in my third edition, not in the first portion. They're talking about getting into the work right away and waking up. Here's why. Not so I can be a big shot in AA, so I can go talk about it and I can pass it on to the guy who's on the street right now who doesn't know there's a solution to what he's suffering from. Just walk up to Broward. You got some mental health folks who are homeless, and you got a lot of folks who could probably use an AA meeting after a detox. They don't even know we're here tonight. That's part of the reason I got to wake up, because God hired me, has hired us to go do work for him. We're his hands and feet. Yeah. But I'm from full of me, selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, my drama, my story, my stuff. I'm living my story rather than the life has given me. God has given me this abundant life. I'm not going to do that. I don't have time for that because I'm consumed with me. I put things that I worship ahead of God, and I'm completely in the dark about it. I'm trusting and relying upon my mind rather than God. And one of the things about waking up spiritually is we start to get away from that. I create space or distance from me. When I first got sober, I had to get away, stay away, get away and stay away from alcohol. And then I stay sober a while, I got to get away and stay away from me. It's called daily dying for successful living. My younger brothers weren't involved in recovery. They're civilians. They weren't doing Al-Anon. They weren't even doing church. And at the beginning, I was talking. You get to learn the AA language, and they hear a different voice. Oh, that's his recovery stuff. But as long as he's happy, leave him alone, you know. But then they start to see your life change, and they become attracted to it. But I had no right to tell them, you know, you need to be doing this. You need to go to Al-Anon. You need to go to therapy. In fact, there's something on page 100 in our book, and it says this. This is a clear-cut warning. Whether the family goes on a spiritual basis or not, the alcoholic member has to if he would recover. The others must be convinced of his new status beyond the shadow of a doubt. Seeing is believing to most families who have lived with the drinker. The walk is the sermon. And for me, I had to see in order to believe at the beginning. Now I believe in order to see. It's changed. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. Earlier in the book, in the preface, in the forewords, they talk about how this idea of one drunk work with another proved to be successful as nothing else before. I just paraphrase that. One drunk work with another. Having a tough day, go work with the drunk. Having a great day, go work with the drunk. A little fear has shown up, some doubts, some concern about the future, go work with the drunk. I had a grand sponsor, Don P., who was dying of cancer, and they were giving him radiation treatments, and he couldn't even talk. He had just his chest was on fire from the radiation, and he pretty much lost his voice. It was really raspy and painful to listen to. And the last time I saw him was in Fort Walton Beach. He was doing a workshop. He couldn't even talk. And he said, when we get a break, let's go for a walk. He couldn't even walk far. He knew it was the last time we were going to see each other. And he knew about, I need to work with a new guy. I need to work with somebody. I need to talk to drunks. I need to get around drunks. Because let's face it, if you're here a while, you know one thing, that we're just better around each other. There's three places I'm most comfortable on the entire globe. One is here. I'm just better around you. I'm more comfortable. Everything makes sense to me. The other place is when I'm with my wife. Everything makes sense. I'm comfortable. I'm safe. And the third place is when I'm in church. Everything, it's safe and everything makes sense. Those three things I need to be around a lot. And I like the effect produced by all of it. It says, I can secure their confidence when others fail. I need to remember they're very ill. It's really unbelievable. It doesn't say the treatment center or my therapist is going to do this. Besides, if I don't have insurance or money, I probably can't get to see them. This is for fun and free. We do God's work. The miracle workers are the drunk sitting next to you or behind you or in front of you or the chairperson. And when you hear our story, you say, wait a minute, I'm going to depend on that guy for my life? Yeah, you are. You know? He's just as tore up as I was. And what we get to share in AA is that common brokenness. When we tell our stories, say, yeah, that was me. Whether it's Park Avenue or Park Bench, the pain is pain. The bottoms are the bottoms. It's all the same stuff. And we get to hook into that. And then we get to share this common solution. We sit with the new guy and he's listening, saying, what did you do to get better? It was way beyond meetings. And we start to teach him. It says life will take on new meaning to watch people recover and to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish and to see a fellowship go up about you. Watch loneliness vanish not only in the new guy, because when I got here in 88, I had no, there were no friends. I was homeless. I lived in an abandoned building. I didn't have friends. I knew Flacco, the drug dealer, and a guy at the liquor store. I didn't have friends. Anyone's been on the street for a while, you know, there's no friends. You steal from me, I steal from you. There's not friends. So I got here, I know nothing about this, and the meeting would end, and it's like, okay, I can feel it on me now. I got a whole night alone in my company. This is not good company. I don't look forward to spending time with me yet. But little by slowly, the men who had their eyes on me, that guy's new, go get him. That guy's new, go get him. Sit with us. Hey, kids, sit with us. And suddenly they would say, come to the diner with us. So now I have this fellowship growing up about me, and I'm loving it. There's strength in numbers. I like this. There's unity of the fellowship, the sacred fellowship. And then I got to be one of those guys where I'd see, he's new. Let's go over and tell how long you're sober. 2 days, you come with us. And what that does is give my spiritual muscles some steroids. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking for the white chippers in the meeting. I like being around our fellowship. To me, it's sacred. I guess if I had a prayer tonight, it would be that if you're here, you would experience the sacredness of Alcoholics Anonymous, where we see lives get reborn and resurrected right in here for fun and for free. It doesn't cost you money. You don't need an insurance policy. You don't need to be the right political party, thank God. You don't need to be the right color. You don't need to come from Boca Raton. It really does make a difference. We call it Botox and bedevilment. Sorry, Lou. Sorry, I'm going to have to make an amends for that at some point. We don't care. Just come on in. You have a desire to stop drinking, come on in. We'll pour you a cup of coffee. Hang out. We'll hook you up with the sponsor. And in 90 days, you'll be standing by the door waiting for the new one because you might have gone through the steps in 90 days. By the way, that's another thing I learned. I heard when in 88, 89, I was hearing step a year. Don't do the steps yet. Make a lot of meetings first. Bad information for a guy like me. There was a guy named Larry G from Staten Island. He would run into a guy with 3 weeks. He says, have you gone through the steps yet? And the guy would look him deer in the headlights. He says, what are you waiting for? I was in Minnesota, and I had 6 months sober, almost to the day. And it was right around Christmas time. And I get sober in June. It's holidays are rolling around, and I'm not doing good. I'm going to meetings, but it's on me. Alcoholism doesn't come in a bottle of whiskey, yeah? And I will pay any price tomorrow to see comfort tonight. And it's on me. And I showed up to, at this guy's house who lived in a town called Cottage Grove, Minnesota. Unannounced. And he, come on in. What's going on? And, you know, like a newcomer, I just purged all over the guy. I'm going through this, I'm experiencing that, and it just did on and on and on. When I finally took a breath, he's questioned. He's, where are you with God in the 12 steps? My question back to him was, when do you start the steps? And he's, when you stop throwing up, you're late. He disturbed me on the question of alcoholism, which is a line in working with others. Perhaps we've disturbed him on the question of alcoholism. He got my attention. I didn't like what he had to say. I wanted him to pour me a cup of coffee and say, I'd be depressed and scared if I was you too. And just, you know, just a pity party. And he didn't do any of that stuff because he was interested in saving my life. He saw a guy who's about to go get loaded, so he got to stop the bleeding right now. So if, God forbid, I saw someone on a ledge, I'm going to pull them in. And if they get injured in the process, that's okay. We'll bandage it up. We'll fix it. They're not dead. And there's hope. That's what he saw with me. I got a cat in front of me. He's about to go get loaded. We're going to lose him. So I'm going to give him the truth. Where are you with God in the steps? When you stop throwing up is when you start. I didn't like that answer. I still talk about that moment for 36 years because it was that life changing for me. I had a sponsor, Mark, would say, when you're sponsoring someone, there's going to be times where you're going to have to tell the drunk something that hurts you to say and pains them to hear. But who else is going to do it? Practice these principles. This is something I'm getting called to here. Something called forgiveness. For me, it's been vital. In order for me to experience freedom, in order for me to really say I'm one with my Creator. Because if I'm not forgiving you, how can I expect Him to forgive me? And it doesn't mean I'm going to, you know, we're going to hang out because I forgave you for a thing you did to me. That doesn't mean that at all. It just means I'm going to move away from it. And I'm going to walk away with no hate or venom in my heart for you. I can't do that. I cannot afford that anymore. I'm not looking for financial restitution from you anymore. I'm not even looking for an amends or an apology from you anymore. I'm not looking you to make some sort of a statement at an AA meeting how you harm me. I don't need that. I don't want that. What I need to do is have a spirit of forgiveness towards those who maybe harm me or cross some boundaries or said some hurtful things. And if you're around here a little while and you're working out there and you have a full life, people are going to do that. Yeah. People are going to say things. People are going to take cheap shots. People are going to be walking around with rage and envy and jealousy. And they got seven deadly sins. And we get caught in the crossfire. Well, my job is not to go back and strike them. That's not my job. Let him deal with that. My job is to practice forgiveness. Even if I don't talk to them again. And not forgiveness where I forgive them as long as they keep changing. Well, it's easy to forgive because John and Mary has changed. They're not changing. I need to be changed. And I've had a lot of things over the years with people who've done some cruddy things to me, quite frankly. And at first I got on the horse and I drew the sword and I'm going to go fix this. And my sponsor said, schmuck, sit down. You don't know what you're doing. We're going to start forgiving. And it was like, I forgive them. No, I don't. Willingness to forgive. It just came down to, I forgive John or Mary and accept them for who and what they are. Move on. You know what? I got to tell you this. One of the biggest miracles. This stuff works. Yeah. There was a guy burying me in AA for a while because I work in treatment. I mean, the things he was saying about me, trying to get me banned from speaking at conferences, just it was ugly. And he was eating my lunch regularly. A lot of forgiveness had to go into him. Sometimes I didn't even mean the forgiveness. I just wanted to knock his lights out. That situation, that person exposed something at me that needed to be fixed. Yeah. Otherwise, I would have never known. I still got some rage here. Don't make me look bad. I'll come right at you. Whoa, where did this come from? A lot of inventory, a lot of prayer, a lot of discussion with the sponsor, a lot of prayer, a lot of prayer, and a lot of prayer. I can talk about that in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. I've crossed paths with this person. I've been in their company, and I hear things in AA circles. And God has sent his army around me, the spiritual airbag, and I'm okay. I wish nothing bad on the person. I just see them differently. That's called freedom. Yes. From alcoholism, because that stuff is, that anger is a drink. That greed is a drink. That lust is a drink. That prideful moment is a drink. That envy, that sloth, all of that, that greed, those are all drinks. And my mind will justify every one of them. But if I've truly, in the sunlight of the Spirit, and have a spiritual awakening as the result of the 12 steps, I got a soul now that's talking to me. It's a little nudging. Don't do this. Go talk about this. come to me with your burdens. Lay them at my feet. This is why I'm here. And that's what I've done. God likes doing the heavy lifting for me. I just need to participate. How am I doing on time? Okay, a couple of more things and I get out of your way. Promise. It talks about on page 96, and I've had one of these, about don't be discouraged if your prospect doesn't respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. The 12-step call or trying to work with someone who won't see our way of life. There was a young kid in when I was in Brooklyn who, you know, one of those guys you just fall in love with when they walk in a room. You just like having him around. He's a lot of fun to be around. Could not get. So one of the young guys who were only drinking, there were no drugs in his story at all, but couldn't stop drinking. I go look for him with a couple of other guys. There he is. Throw him in the car. Take him to me and take him to a detox. And he go get drunk again. And my sponsor says, you need to read page 96. Because if you're around here a while, we're going to get one of them. And we don't close the door. We don't give up. We don't shoot the wounded. Just that sometimes they need to do what they need to do until they run out of road and come back and say, okay, can you help me? I'm ready. And hopefully they survive. Page 96 is this. Don't be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer, what I offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he or she may soon become convinced that they cannot recover by themselves. And then when I get them in front of me, I'm supposed to do this, outline the program of action, explaining how I made a self-appraisal, straighten out my past, etc. I'm going to tell them what I did. And I, for a drunk like me, and this is me, I'm not a model or an example of AA, it's what I do, my walk. On day one, they're going to hear G-O-D out of my mouth. I'm not going to wait for 90 days because I might be dead. Why am I going to hold back the solution? Because all of this, for me, all of this, all of everything in this book, Our Shades, is about one thing, getting me away from me and right with God. Because when I'm right with God, I'm not drinking. I'm not taking drugs. I'm not stealing. I'm not embezzling. I'm practicing fidelity to God, which gives me fidelity in everything else that I do. I'm not putting anything in front of God because it's too important for me. It's the cloth now that God has cut me from. Everything has changed. I look for the all of God in everything. It's traveling light. I'm not traveling. God, listen, for me, God has put one cross on my back. And I carry joyfully. Sometimes it's heavy and sometimes it's annoying and cumbersome, but I know he placed it there. He didn't say, pick up another one. He didn't say volunteer to pick up two more. So I go back to this power to be of service to him and those around me. That's been my walk. And for some reason, I get to travel a lot lighter than I ever did before. My point of view on life has changed in a whole bunch of ways, especially last year when I lost my old man and everything just changed for me. And I've said this from a million podiums. It's the older I'm getting and the longer I'm sober, I've come in contact with how fragile sobriety is and how fragile life is. We're here for a vapor. We're in and out. If you're sitting here and you're 20, it sounds like I'm nuts. I can't believe I'm 65. I don't know how I got here. I was playing stickball, it feels like 15 minutes ago in Brooklyn. But here I am. It's fast. What am I doing with it? Spending time in halfway houses, three-quarter houses, detoxes, treatments. I know every detox. I know every treatment center from here to Timbuktu. The years go by. I say, what am I doing? When is this going to end? And it goes fast. It's fragile. My dad, in his heyday, was a strong guy and a tough guy. And growing up, he was Mickey Mantle, even though I was terribly afraid of him. But I never looked at my dad getting old and feeble and then passing. That's somebody else's story, not mine. That's exactly what happened. And then he passes. How did this happen? And I all the years of being with him just went by in a second. And it was a little wake-up call for me. And as far as sobriety, how fragile that is. I can write all the inventory I want. I can pray all I want, go to all the meetings I want. I still have this alcoholic mind that wants to get in there, infiltrate, and pull me away from this power, pull me away from you. It's always there. Because I'm a recovered alcoholic, doesn't mean the mind says, okay, we're going to leave Pete Marinelli alone. It's got, the closer I get to God, the louder that thing might scream. What am I going to do about this? We can tell we're listening to our mind when we run into ourselves, we're bumping into people, and we're restlessly discontented because I'm listening to me again. These things happen, and then we get drunk, and some of us never make it back. It's that fragile, it's hanging by a thread. I need to know that, on how precious this is. And how lucky, how fortunate, how blessed I am to have a God to go to and a meeting to come to and the sponsor who calls. When the game's on, I don't want to take a call, but I got to take the call because I'm always lighter after I get done with the call because I'm hanging from a thread. It's called recovery. And alcoholism, in an ocean of alcoholism, and God has thrown me a line. I better hold on tight. Now, as long as I'm right with God, I'll never drown. I'm never getting drunk again. I'm not going to hurt anyone again. But I need to get as close to God as I possibly can. And we start to find out there's no proximity between us and that power which we're connected to. And it takes a while. We have a friend, Russell, who says to newcomers, stick around. It'll be about 30 years until you figure this all out. You know what I know? I think he's right. But I was able to go through my dad's passing and be there for my family. And I get to do this walk. I get out of here. I get to do this walk with some dear friends who we like to see each other. There's no obligation. We just like to see each other. And I get to do it with a woman who I adore, who's one of us. And I met my wife doing service for Alcoholics Anonymous. So my message is, do service for AA, you'll come home with a wife. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how this happened. I get a call from a guy in a town called Bellingham, Washington. And he tracked me down. We had cassette tapes. I still don't know to this day how he found me. And he had like 2 months living in a halfway house. He asked me to sponsor him. As 2 months, you're on the other side of the country. I'm living in Jersey. I don't know if I can do this. You need to be in front of someone. So I call up Mark Hughes. I say, Mark, here's a story. He says, this guy tracked you down? That sounds like pretty willing to me. Work with him. So I start working with this guy, and he's responding. And he becomes chairperson of his home group. He gets a home group, and they're having a group anniversary. He throws my name in the hat. I want my sponsor to come speak. The group says, we heard of him. Let's bring him out here. They pool their money together. They put me on a flight, put me in the worst hotel in the state of Washington. I had a lunatic driving me in the rain. He's driving. He keeps going, so, Pete, how do you do inventory? He's doing 80 miles an hour. And I get to this place, and I do the talk, and that night, that afternoon, and that night, I bump into this woman named Marion. You know when you meet somebody, your heart skips about 18 beats? Fast forward a few years later, we get married. What a blessing. My marriage is because of God and Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yes.
It was brought to me. I didn't pick it. My picker is broken, by the way. Most of us in this room know what I'm talking about. So sponsorship, a home group, and service, and a God in my life, I get to travel light. I'm going to get out of your hair with this. This book was given to me years ago. I didn't read it. It was collecting dust. And one night I'm lying down, and a book calls us. A lot of times books call us, read me. And if you're like me, I look for the pictures first. I want to see all the pictures in the book. And I saw squiggly writing, italicized writing, and I read it, and it floored me. I have a sponsor made a big plaque. It's in my prayer room at home. It's that important to me. And this is what the author writes. He's not an AA guy. This is not about AA, but if you hear it, it's us. And this is what the author writes. May I become at all times, both now and forever, a protector for those without protection, a guide for those who have lost their way, a ship for those with oceans to cross, a bridge for those with rivers to cross, a sanctuary for those in danger, a lamp for those without light, a place of refuge for those who lack shelter, and a servant to all in need. That's my Alcoholics Anonymous. I get to be a player in all of that. Thank you so much, guys. That's all I got. Peace.
Let's thank Peter one more time. And we're going to have our alcoholic secretary come up.
Hey, my name is Spencer, and I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. In keeping with our seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. You know, you're short on cash, but you have a phone. We got QR codes on the back of the chairs if you want to donate virtually. I have asked Marcus to read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering, and what exactly it means to be a recovered alcoholic. Please help me welcome Marcus.
Hey, you guys, I'm Marcus. I'm a recovering alcoholic.
Just read this?
Yeah. Okay. Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered, but not cured, that presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in the body. Page 23. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Thank you so much. All right. 1940 style big book sponsorship from the forward to the second edition of Alcoholics Anonymous of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried. 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experience is that God has not changed over time, and neither has the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75%+ success rate. Is anyone needing a sponsor? All right, we got a couple. That's cool. And if you're too afraid to raise your hand, you know, you can hang out in the back and somebody will approach you and you'll find out what happens. Let's help these folks get back to God. Can the recovered alcoholics please raise your hand? There we go. Those are great sponsors. If your hand was not raised, we suggest you hang out with those whom were. It is the, not that last meeting of the month. And we have screen announcements, which we do have. Intergroup is where you can buy AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup is also responsible for creating our where and when and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. And then we have Broward County Institutions Committee, and they are responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us cannot get out to an AA meeting, such as jails, detoxes, and rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedule at the 12 Step House. Do we have any BCIC members out there tonight? All right, cool. Well, none here, but if you need any information, go talk to Mike Chase. He has some. And here are some exciting opportunities. Volunteer opportunity, intergroup picnic planning, Sunday, September 22nd, 2 p.m. at the 12 Step House. Pat starts on the September 26th through the 31st, which means that next week, the 19th, we have a secret surprise speaker. Whoa. So it's a great time to join us, because who knows we'll be up here. Okay, it's Joubert. And, of course, we have our Monday night big book study. It meets at fellowship begins at 6:30. The workshop starts at 7:15. It has been fantastic. We're right at the beginning of the book, and we are reading the Doctor's Opinion this Monday. So if you have nothing to do on a Monday night, there's no better place in Fort Lauderdale to be. We have CDs, mugs, large print big books, little red books, and big book dictionaries for sale. We meet every Thursday starting promptly at 7:15, and we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bells. See you next week.
For those of you who would like to thank our speaker, please line up down the center aisle. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer seated. If you don't know it, it's going to be up on the screen here. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. See you next week.
I am desperately in need of restoration. Yeah, and I am ready for you to take me higher. Yeah, the only thing that I can do is keep on praying. These possessions that I have amount to nothing at all.
sounds, and oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby, baby. Yes, when you're laughing. When you're laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. Stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby, and I hope.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine.
Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you? Shine your light. out on me tonight. Lord, shine your light on me tonight. There's no place for a woman like me. My hands are dirty, but my soul is clean. So Lord, shine your light on me. These hands right down to the bone. I work these hands right down to the bone. I've worked so hard for someone I don't know. I watch these walls be bought and sold. So Lord, got one man that just won't say.